All right, we have the privilege of hearing John speak this morning to us. So, Lord, we ask that your blessing would be on John as he shares. We pray that you'd fill him with your spirit, that he'd be able to preach your word to us with power, with authority. We invite you to speak through him, Lord, and we also ask that you'd prepare our own hearts, just like Jesus talks about the soil that is good, good ground. We ask that your seeds would be planted in good ground this morning. And offer up the rest of this time to you in the name of Jesus.
Sounds like a heavy. Preach the word with authority. I don't even like the word preach. I just like the word teach. Anyway, a couple quick things before we get started. For the men only and young men, 16 and over, pick up your registration form for the getaway at the lake. It's only 6 weeks away. And if you want to sleep on a bed, first come, first serve. Otherwise, it's a mat on the floor, and that's comfortable too. So just reminding you of that. And Scott, you want to come up? Some of our folks just got back from Kitchener, the national celebration of the vineyard every 3 years, and Scott had a few things that he wanted to share with us, so I am going to get him to, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to ask a couple questions, and you're going to offload, and we got 5 minutes, and if you don't get done, we'll do the rest of it tomorrow. I mean, next Sunday, tomorrow. Okay, Scott, so what was the theme of the conference?
The theme on live, encounter Jesus, live the story, Mark 3:14, that they might be with him, so that he might send them out. I share because of my excitement of being in God's family. Pastor Andy, my motorcycling friend, asked at the ending family celebration what I was going to take back, and I really did not have a solid answer for him. The other reason I share is the encouragement that I received and that I can share. The week preceding, I was on a 7-day, two-province work trip, so I had lots of time to think about on live and judge myself in my walk with Christ. Like, am I reading Scripture, 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Also, praying, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, listening, Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. James 1:22, 1 Corinthians 15:34, 33 and 34, Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 11:28.
Okay, while you're looking for that, I'm going to ask you another question. So this whole week was pretty impactful for you and your own spiritual walk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the celebration for me was going to be a new experience. I've attended WCV for 3 years regularly, approximately, and so I went to it like I was going to church. I did not go through the experience. Did I go through the experience alone? No. Then I wrote down Isaiah 40:38. My scripture.
Okay, you find that. So I got another question for you. Tell us about Robbie Dawkins, the speaker.
Very, very energetic and alive in the spirit. He talked about what would Jesus do, or that was a phrase he used, and he wrote a book that I bought, but he phrased it do what Jesus did, in that all of us being, yeah, that was the phrasing of his book. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. 1 Peter 4, 1-6. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of disputation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit.
Okay, so two things I'm getting out of this. First of all, the evangelism, like going out and preaching the word, mm-hmm. and then a maturity of the believer from that scripture that you just read. Don't just remain a babe, but become mature in the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That covered it all off as far as just encapsulating the...
That was part of the encouragement I received, is to especially live in the Spirit. This is where... I began reflecting on the celebration Friday morning after most were gone until this morning, and then I started thinking of Christ speaking on the Great Commission: "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Exciting, like me speaking up here.
Okay, so just let's tie it together. Was your sense that other people were getting the same kind of drift from the conference like you?
No.
Okay, so I thought...
I saw, received and heard attenders repenting, recommitting, being renewed and rejoicing. Like, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Okay, so let's tie it together now. You got one more thing. I'm going to give you one more half minute. Have you got anything else there in your notes?
It was the national celebration, Encounter Jesus, Live the Story, Mark 3:14. Yes. We could all do this. It does not matter if we are wise or noble, white or brown, big or small. God can use us with our flaws and weaknesses. We align position ourselves with Jesus. Nothing to do with talents, abilities, personalities, or charisma. Instead, God deliberately chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those who are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God.
Okay, so Lord, I thank you for the lessons that Scott is bringing back for himself. I also want to pray for you, Scott, that you're going to feel the freedom to share this with other people, especially the whole business of sharing the gospel, which is one of the key things that came out of that, and that while you're doing that, that's going to strengthen you as a person and in your spirituality. So thanks for doing that, okay? Appreciate that very much. Okay, bud. So, Lord, I just thank you again for our church. I thank you, Lord, that we have a learning spirit, and today we want to learn what you have to say to us about a very interesting and important story.
We just ask your spirit would move and that we would be open to whatever you have to say. Amen. Okay, you want to throw that verses on the board that we want to cover? And we're going to talk about Acts 8, about a 15-verse selection. I'm going to read it quickly. For those of you who are new, we've been studying the life of Peter for about, four, five, 6 months. This is another story about Peter. This is about Peter and somebody who he encountered that he actually didn't like. There's a lot of people that didn't like what Peter did when he was a new convert and a new disciple. You remember that he had difficulty doing what he said he was going to do. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I know you don't all have your Bibles in front of you, but I'm going to read this to you. And the story is jammed in between the stoning of Stephen, Paul standing around in the background, encouraging those who were killing Christians to keep on killing them. So this is before Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then right after this story, Philip, who is part of the evangelistic team, so to say, to take the claims of Jesus to the world, goes out to Samaria. So it's Jerusalem in the middle, Samaria up on the top, and then the story afterwards, right away after that, Philip goes down to Gaza, and we all know what's going on in Gaza today, and you know where it is. It's down right on the border of Egypt, on the west coast of Israel, and it's just a little strip of land. So these guys were moving around all over the place, and the reason they were moving around was because they were trying to get away from Paul, or from Saul, because he was a terror to the Christians at that time. So here's the story. So Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said, because this was all new stuff. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Now you can imagine, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a guy shows up in town and stuff starts to happen that people have not seen before. And there was a great joy in the city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, and he's actually called a wizard, Simon the Wizard, and was amazed and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." You got more? Okay, so Simon, being a wizard, figures he's a pretty good guy. He's a pretty powerful guy. They're actually calling him the power of God. Okay, are we running out of steam here? Okay, let me tell you the rest of the story. So Simon listens to Philip, and guess what happens? He believes the story about Jesus, and he gets saved. And he gets baptized momentarily, which is what happened in those days. The people got saved, they got baptized right away. And Philip seemingly was a little bit over his head. They found out in Jerusalem, Peter and John found out in Jerusalem that, okay, here it is. They followed him. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with the sorcery. This was Simon. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard it, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Okay, keep her going. You're not out yet, are you? Not responding, okay. So Peter comes, and he ramps it up a notch or five. And he starts praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, okay, of the people who had already believed and got baptized, but now he's going to give them what we would maybe call, in crass terms, the full meal deal about the Spirit. And it was through Jesus. They were believing in Jesus, okay? And all of a sudden, Simon, the sorcerer, he sees that these people are receiving the Holy Spirit. And he says, wow, guess what? This is not in my bag of tricks, but I'm going to see if I can buy this whole thing. So he pulls out some money, and he goes to Peter, and he says, here is some money. I want to buy what you got. And Peter looks at him, and he says, in no uncertain terms, are you ready for this? To hell with you and your money. Now, you didn't think that was in the Bible, did you? Well, it's not in the NIV, but it's in the Message Bible, okay? And he condemns a guy who just started to believe. Okay, you're getting it up, but I'm not going to read it now. He condemns this guy to damnation because of this move that he makes to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you tell me what that would feel like if that was you. I know it would knock me on my rear end. Okay? I thought I believed in Jesus. I thought I was baptized. I thought I was a Christian. And this guy comes along and tells me to go to hell with my money. So, let's pick it up from there. You know what I like about this story? I personally can identify with both Peter and Simon. Okay? Like, when I was a young Christian, okay, I said I was going to do a lot of things for the Lord. I promised myself, I promised the Lord, whatever, whatever, and guess what? It never really happened. I didn't deny Jesus when the cock crew three times in public, but I sort of denied Jesus by not doing what I knew I should do. Now, I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I wasn't a bad guy, and nobody came and condemned me to damnation because I was missing the boat here a little bit, okay? Now, I can identify with Simon too, because Simon was a businessman, and he was in it for the money, and he was looking for advantage because, you know, he wasn't the only sorcerer in town. He was the good one. He was the best one, but he wasn't the only guy in town. There were lots of sorcerers around, and but you know why he was good? Because he was always looking for the trump card to have over his competition. And guess what? That's what business guys do. They look for advantage. They look for something that the competitor doesn't have. Okay? So when you turn your TV on and you see this new pretzel bacon burger thing that's going on at Wendy's, McDonald's doesn't have that. KFC doesn't have that. And the jury's still out whether it's any good. Or if you go to Safeway instead of somebody else, have you got an Air Miles card? They put your Air Miles card in, and guess what? You get points or whatever. You get, yeah, Air Miles. And the other guy doesn't have that. It's a loyalty card. In other words, they have bought the rights to, and it's something to give them an advantage over the competition. Okay? All right. Now, I can identify with that because I spent my whole business life getting better than the next guy. I traveled around the world looking for technology that I could put into my product that the other guy didn't even know where to go to find it. And I beat him to the market by at least a year. And by the time he had figured out why I was getting all the jobs and he wasn't getting them, he was sucking air. Simon, I like that. I still like that. This sounds really weird, but I'm going to tell you. When you get that in your head, you never flush it out. Okay? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And I even got it in my mind about the church. Sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? Like, what? Not that the church wants to have an advantage over anybody, but what does the church, what does this church do that other missions or churches don't do? I believe my mission in life is to do things for people that other people can't do for them. And that carries out in my thinking about the church. I'm going to get into that, okay? So it's I want to tell you, it's not a disease. It's a good thing in some ways, but it can go haywire on you. It can go goofy. Okay, so let's take this the next step. And by the way, some of you have got notes. Some of you don't have notes. Don't even try to follow this. I've got notes here, but I'm, you know, I've only got 15 or 20 minutes left. And you take the notes home, or if you haven't got notes, go to the internet. It's on the internet. And we're going to talk about this whole business about money. Why did this guy, why did Peter, by the way, now Peter was a little older already, and he had matured, and he could recognize when somebody was doing something stupid as a Christian. And what Simon did was really stupid, but he didn't realize it. He didn't know that he was doing something inappropriate. He figured, well, you know what? I've been doing this all my life. So, you know, he couldn't even correlate it. Now, let's not dwell on the interaction between Peter and Simon. I want to talk about money today. And Peter is the guy who's the who is initiating our focus here, because he says something about money that most of us would be scared to say to anybody. I mean, I've never ever told anybody that. And I've been around for a long time. And I don't think I'm ever going to tell anybody that they're going to go to hell because they're doing something wrong with their money. But there's a lesson to learn. And I'm going to share with you the lessons that I have learned. And I'm going to encourage you to figure out what the lessons are for you. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what the lessons are. I want you to let the Spirit of the Lord, between now and the end of my little discussion here with you, and going forward this week, what's the Lord telling you about money? What do you think about money? How important is money? Well, let me tell you how important I think money is. And I'm a little skewed, but I think money's pretty important. I'll tell you why. Because I'm willing, if you analyze how much time you spend thinking about money or dealing with money or doing a transaction compared to other things in your life, you're going to find you spend a lot of time. Especially if you're having a problem with money, you're going to even spend more time. If there's pressure, if you can't pay your bills, you're going to lay awake at night trying to figure out what's going on here. So I'm not gonna shy away from the statement and say, you know what, money's not that important. You know what? Let's talk about everything else, and let's not talk about money. I'm gonna talk about money because I know it's important. Now in the booklet, and I'm not gonna talk about this at all, but in the booklet I share with you a little bit about my life journey. You can read about it. You can read about the time that I got fired. And I want to tell you. Hey, has anybody ever been fired in this room? Just show me your finger. Oh. Well, let me tell you what happened when I got fired. I got fired on Main Street and Leela in the MTS building when they were building it 50 years ago. And I was getting $1.10 an hour. And I made one mistake. I went to the window to look out the window. Just to look out the window. I was a young guy. I was only 16 years old or whatever, maybe 17. And the boss was downstairs on the parking lot, and he saw me, and guess what he did? He went to the foreman and he said, get rid of that guy. Fire him. He's dragging it. He's not working. He's looking out the window. And I'll tell you, that was pretty embarrassing. Like, that really hurt. First time. Last time. You know why? Because I said, I know one way not to ever get fired again, and that's be the boss. And guess what? That stuck with me, as stupid as it sounds, that stuck with me for my whole life. I never was fired again. I was always the boss. And I was firing people. Not all the time, but if they had to be. I tell you, it's hard to take. You guys know. You tell me. I don't want to hear the stories, but you tell yourself it's hard to take. You know it is. So, read the stories. Some fun stuff in there. Don't have time for it right now. So, we're agreeing, I think, that money is pretty important. Not just for the business guy, but you are a business person in your own right, in your own personal financial situation. And I know the stories of some people in the room here. And I know the ones who have been at the verge of bankruptcy. Doesn't feel good. And I'm not going to get overly spiritual about it and say, you know what? So when you're at the verge of bankruptcy, just give it all to the Lord and the Lord will pull it off. It isn't always that simple. He'll help, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not going to even get into that. But what I want to tell you, from my story, I'm going to tell you what my problem was when I was a business guy. I was a workaholic. My wife raised the kids. I was around conveniently when I had to be, but not enough. My kids fortunately turned out okay. My wife is still okay. I've made up to her more times than I can think. In many different ways. But it bugged me because I was a Christian. I believed in Jesus. And I knew that I was spending more time trying to make money than I was trying to do the things that Jesus said in Scripture that somebody who believes in him is supposed to do. It actually carried right through my whole life. Not only that, I had the problem because I came from the other side of the river here, which was Elmwood. And in those days, Elmwood was the low end of town. It was the coal yards. Poverty. And I said to myself when I was 10 years old, I do not want to live the way my parents have to live. And I made up my mind the first time I had a job that I was going to work my rear end off, and I did. I was going to work so hard that I would not have to live in the coal mines. And that's what happened. The problem was, I worked too hard. You get addicted to work, you get addicted to money, and guess what? All of a sudden, it's all out of control. And I'll tell you what, it was out of control for me for 33 years. Now, was I a bad guy? No, I wasn't a bad guy. I went to church, I did this thing. I was on the board, I was a deacon, I was this, I was that, wasn't happy. And my heart was conflicted. And God knew it. And it was conflicted because he was doing it. He was saying, well, you know better than this. You know what it says in Scripture. You know where the priorities are. You know what it says about the first love. You know what it says about the love for money. So why don't you do it? Pretty hard to do. To get off the bottle. I was on the money bottle. I was addicted. Now, as I'm telling you my story, some of you are going to identify with this, okay? I am not preaching to the business guy in this room. I'm teaching the principle to everybody. So God knew that I was conflicted, and all of a sudden, he gave me a chance to get out. He gave me a chance to sell my business. And guess what? I did. I got out. 1995, 55 years old. I said to myself, okay, Lord, if that's what this is all about, I'm going to cash out, not just for money, I'm going to cash out for you because now I haven't got anything to do. That was the start of the church. right here, together with the Russes and some of you that are here in the room. Now, let me tell you what that felt like. First of all, I still love thinking about money, but I'm not addicted to it anymore. Because God's given me a very rare position of authority and responsibility as far as money goes for myself and for my family and for the church. So the question here is now, how do we deal? And by the way, let me make it very clear. I'm not saying to any person in this room who owns their own business that the way to get yourself right with the Lord about money is that you've got to sell your business. In fact, I'm going to tell you, you better hang on to it. Because first of all, you're probably not 55 years old, and you've got a little ways to go, and you may never sell your business. Because I had to, because I was over the top. I was jumping off the 10-meter board every day into the confliction of my heart. And the only way God knew that I could get out was to get rid of it. That's only me, and don't extrapolate it to your situation, except to say that you have to have the number one priority straight in your life. And if the number one priority is, I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm busy making money, then you've got a problem, maybe even as big as the one I had. But I'm going to let everybody know here that I had probably the biggest problem of anybody in the room. Now, I'll tell you, it wasn't fun. It wasn't even fun to get out. I didn't realize it at that time. It wasn't fun to get out. Because when I got out, when I got my check, I said, what am I going to do? This is crazy. I've been running a mile a minute for my whole life, and now I'm still running a mile a minute. But for a different reason. Huh? Yeah, whatever. So, let me tie it together now. Towards the end of the book there, I talk about honesty, purity, and accountability. It's right at the end before ministry time. Here's the lessons that I learned. And I think these are the lessons that we all have to learn. We have to be honest about who we are. We have to be honest about what we think about money. We don't have to be embarrassed in public about what we think about money. You might want to deal with that privately with the Lord, secretly with the Lord. And nobody is going to ask you today to come up here and confess your sins about money. Maybe you thought that's where I'm going. But I am going to say to you, if you have a confliction about how important money is in your life compared to how important Jesus should be in your life, then yeah, then you'll have to deal with contrition. You'll have to get into a position of contrition where the Spirit of the Lord says, the one way to get right with this is to know what your problem is, to be contrite in spirit, and to confess your problem. And then, as John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, the Lord will forgive them. That's not just about salvation. That's about any sin in your life. And by the way, don't anybody go away from here today saying that, well, this guy's got a lot of nerve. He's telling me that I'm sinning about my money. No, I'm not telling you that at all. I'm saying, let the Lord tell you where you are. Be honest with the Lord. Be accountable to him. Okay? That's really who you have to be accountable to, or to your spouse, okay? However it is. All right? That's a big deal. But most of all, have a desire to have a pure heart. The purity of heart, when it relates to money and the Lord, is the most important thing. And if you can go to sleep at night knowing from the Spirit and from the Lord that you have a pure heart about how you're feeling about money, how you're dealing with money, how you're thinking about money, then you should have a good night's sleep. I've had too many nights in my life where I never slept because of money. I sleep better now, but it's not to say that I don't think about it. And I thank the Lord that he's actually was strict enough with me in my situation to realize that it's really all about the purity of heart. Now, the Lord didn't steal my money. He didn't make me go bankrupt to realize where I was. And I thank him for that. So we don't have to go through we don't have to go through tribulation to realize it, even though I consider my experience in my own spirit over the years to have been a little bit of tribulation, okay? But it doesn't have to mean you got to go down into the sewer hole and that's the only way you're going to realize that you're wrong. No, it's way better. And you know what? Poor Simon. Guess what he did? Now, I don't know if we got the rest of the story up here, but he actually says, can you bring up the last part of that again? Just throw it on the wall, and when it's there, he realizes something. Okay, yeah, here, this last verse here. So Simon, he didn't say to Peter, well, you know, Peter, who are you to tell me about this, okay? I'm a way smarter guy with money than you are. No. He said, Peter says, may your money perish with you. That's the go to hell part there, okay? Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God, okay? So get your heart right with God. That's what this lesson is. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. Okay, that's contrition, confession, and forgiveness. It's in the booklet. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. So, I mean, he's still beating on this guy. Even after he tells him to go with his money to where he's supposed to go. The last verse. Then Simon says, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Now, to me, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like he went the whole nine yards on this thing. He was contrite, he confessed, and he's hoping the Lord's going to forgive him. And I'm sure the Lord did, because that's the end of the story. We don't hear from Simon anymore, and Philip is gone down to Gaza, and Peter, we don't even know where he's going next. He shows up somewhere else. So, enough said. You got the picture? I got about a minute. Anybody got a question? Anybody want to challenge me on anything I said? I'm okay. I have a bit. By the way, that's a question that everybody asks me every day. Not only do I have it, can I have some? In fact, it did happen today. So I got to deal with that request. Yeah. I'm not touching that one today with a 10-foot pole because you're going to have to come back when I preach about money in the church or teach about money in the church. But I've got, this is the first, I didn't tell you this, okay? Staff doesn't even know this. This is the first of about five teachings. First one is the perils of money. The second one is greed. You never heard a sermon about greed in this church for the last 18 years. That's going to be a good one. I'm getting ready for it because it came right out of this. The Lord told me after I did this, he says, you got to talk about greed. You know why? Because I was a greedy guy. So I can talk all I want about this, you know what? And if I don't admit to the Lord that I'm a greedy guy, but you know what? You can go to work on this a little bit. do a little bit of homework for yourself if you want. Find out what greed really is. We'll talk about it whenever I get a chance to get up here again. And then we're going to talk about money in the church. And one of those sermons is going to be about tithing. And boy, I'll tell you, we're going to lay it on thick. No. So, good question, by the way. Not to make fun of it. Yes. Oh, you know what, you guys? Tithing, the whole concept of tithing and what's your responsibility with money in the church is easy when you've got your heart right. Okay? What I say in my book, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to read something in that booklet that I didn't say anything, I'm going to mention it. I'll tell you how I try to get rid of the confliction. I try to do exactly the same thing that Simon did. I try to buy the Lord off. You know how? Give the money away. And I want to tell you, it says in there how much I did give away, approximately, roughly. And guess what? It didn't help a toot. Because I was still conflicted. Because the Lord didn't want my money. He doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And once he's got your heart, money ain't going to be a problem. It's that simple. So, good point. We'll deal with it. This is an ongoing issue, okay? It's going to be good. All right. Anybody else in a quandary? Anybody else feeling kind of grubby about this whole thing? You are? Why? You're stuck in an economic, it's in my book too, you're stuck in an economic quandary of the world financial system, which could be another five sermons, and we're not going to do that, but it's a big, big deal. We're not controlled by the world is not controlled by the economics of God, it's controlled by the economics of the enemy. I'll leave it at that. So you still got to get it right, because if you don't get it right, and the Lord has given us the power, the wisdom, and the direction in Scripture, how to get it right. Okay, so Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room who has their own thoughts, their own situation, their own responsibilities, and their own confliction with money. Now, Suhail, you mentioned to me about, say exactly what you said to me, because this is where it fits in, real quick. What did the Lord tell you?
That he will provide everything that we need.
What, during worship?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Take that word and work it over. And Lord, above all, I pray that everyone in this room will be honest about where they stand and what they think and what they do with their money, that they will be accountable to you and to anybody else that they have to be accountable to. And then above all, Lord, I pray for purity of heart, that we can all stand before you and we can say our hearts are not conflicted because the Spirit of the Lord is in control of our money. So, with that prayer, I'm going to just read the ministry time thing, and that's going to be the close of the meeting. But if you want to have any kind of prayer personally, you want to come up here. We're not going to stand and wait. We're not going to get everybody to stand and wait for somebody to come up. If you want to come up here and you want some prayer about it, I'll be happy to do that. There's other people that can help. So, number 6 in your booklet, the last thing. If you feel the need, confess your confliction of heart action. The second thing is ask God forgiveness where he has shown that you're wrong, and resolve to let God show you a continuum of correct choices that will strengthen your faith and ability to walk uprightly. Pray for honesty and purity of heart. Pray for protection and freedom from the temptations of incorrect choices regarding priorities and importance of money. So I want to bless you guys with that challenge. Take that booklet home and work it over. And Let the Lord speak to you. So we thank you, Lord, for the lessons of the day. Amen. If you want prayer, come on up and we'll pray for you. We'll have coffee. I think coffee's going over there.